Amen. Amen. Tonight I'm doing something that it's a little interesting. I'm breaking in a new Bible, brand spanking new. It's got the new Bible scent and everything, you know. And, you know, just getting it used to the pulpit, you know. It's like breaking in a horse, you know. You got to do a little bit at a time, you know. But we're going to get this one broken in. Isn't it nice? Amen. I was blessed with it, and I'm so thankful for it. Just showing it off a little bit. Holy Bible, King James Version, Kenneth Hagin Legacy Bible. It's a beautiful, oh yeah. It's a nice Bible. Nice Bible. Feels so soft. All right, anyway, sorry. So, well, just a little quick update about the building and what we're doing here. Man, we're having a fantastic time. And we're getting lots of work done. Next week, we start painting. That means the end is near. Amen. And so we're doing really, really well, and we're thankful for all the people that are coming out and helping us and getting all the work done. But hey, there's still lots of work that needs to be done, and we still need help. And so if you can help out, let us know, and we greatly appreciate that. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, tonight, I want to talk to you guys about, Pastor was talking about faith a little while ago on Sunday, and we're going to continue on a bit of a conversation here about faith. We're going to talk about some enemies of faith. And so we're going to talk about this tonight. And I actually done a good one. I actually printed off two copies of my message. So send in, you have my scriptures. And there you go. And so we should be able to get through this together. Amen. Well, when we fight the good fight of faith, we can step out of the narrow place of failure into the boundless power of God. You know, when you think about it, when we're fighting the good fight of faith, it is a battle. It is most definitely a battle. It's everything, you know, people think once you become born again, or not everybody, but some people believe that, you know, everything's going to be hunky-dory and that's it, you know. No, that's not the way it goes. You're still going to have to do some work. You're still going to have to do something. Yes, once you became born again, Jesus washed away your sins, made you whole and all those good things. But you still live on an earth with a curse, and you know, you're still living in that same body that you're living in before you were born again, and you still got those same temptations, those same trials, those same things. But you see, you've been given the tools now to be able to overcome those successfully. And so, it's exciting that when we fight the good fight of faith, yeah, it is a fight. But guess what? Let me tell you something. We already win. Amen? Well, anyone awake here tonight? I'll get you shouting here the once. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. New Living Translation. Oh, that's good water. It says, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. How many of you are fighting the good fight of faith right now? Let me see your hand. You're fighting that fight of faith. Come on, let me see those hands. Good. Some of you, you're not sure if you're fighting it or not. All right. No problem. Fight the good fight of faith. For the true faith, hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. Well, if you just raise your hand and you said you're fighting the good fight of faith, well, you just declared in front of everybody that, you know what, you're fighting it. You're standing for Jesus. You're doing what needs to be done. Hallelujah. See, that's giving a witness right there. For a believer and a follower of Christ, we have been given so much. You know, we've been given eternal life. Our sins have been forgiven. We can have divine health, prosperity. The Scripture says that we are joint heirs with Christ. Scriptures say that we've been given all spiritual blessings. But we can only access all these wonderful things through faith in the Lord. Now, the reality of this is that we often don't realize what belongs to us, and we allow ourselves to be defeated by somebody that has already been defeated. You know, when we're not walking in the things that God has for us, well, we're cutting ourselves short of the blessings of God, and we're cutting ourselves short of what God has planned for us, and we're actually missing out on a lot. A lot of times, believers, Christians, we don't fully understand, we fully don't get a picture, or fully know what belongs to us. And a lot of times, it's our own fault because we're not doing the work. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor Steve? Well, we're not in the Word. We're not seeing what the Word says. We're not going to church. We're not, you know, doing what we're supposed to be doing. You see, you have to do something. Amen? How many of you like to get a paycheck? Paychecks are good. Hallelujah. But you know what? In order to get a paycheck, you have to do the work. Right? You know? That's the way it works. In order to get a paycheck, you got to do the work. And so in order for us to be in this blessing and have these things alive in our lives, well, then we have to do something as well. Now, there are enemies to our faith, hindrances that buffet us from receiving what God has for us. Now, tonight we're going to take, for a few minutes, we're going to take a look at some of these. The first one I want to talk about is the failure to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ. You see, a lot of people, they struggle with this. They don't truly know who they are in Christ. They don't know that, you know, they're a new creature, a new creation, a new creature. And so that's a big enemy of faith right there. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Amplified, it says, "Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come." See, we're not the same as what we used to be anymore. Once we become a believer, a follower of Christ, and we've accepted him as our Lord and personal Savior, you're not the same person that you once were. Your spirit man has been renewed. Now, here's the cool thing. Jesus did not just forgive your sins. They were more than that. They were wiped, washed away, completely eliminated. Big delete button, click, and gone. So everything that you've ever done, when you accepted the Lord, all those things were washed away. Clean slate. Now when you think about it, I got something to praise God for. You know, I'm sure some of you guys in here, you got something to praise God for. Thank God that he just didn't forgive you for those sins, but he washed them away. He took them away. They're no longer in your ledger, so to speak. Amen? And that's something to be thankful for right there. Now, before we became born again, you know, we were headed down a dark path. Like that old rock and roll song says, "On a highway to hell." All right? You know? No, we were headed towards a dark place. But praise God, because we are a new creature in Christ, we're not the same person that we used to be anymore. You see, we were created new. Our spirit man, the real us, the man on the inside of us, because we only live in an earth suit. You know what I'm talking about here? See, the real us is the spirit man. And while we're on this planet, you know how astronauts, when they go out to outer space, they wear a space suit to survive? Or if scuba divers, when they go scuba diving, they got to wear an apparatus to survive underwater. Well, in order for us to survive here on Earth, we have to have this earth suit. You know? This body. And so, while we're here, you know, we have to take care of this body the best we can. You know? I've been making a few changes in my eating habits. I know some of my buddies around here have as well. You know, we've been changing up as we get a little bit older. We see that things start slowing down or little things start acting different in our bodies. And so, you know, I've been eating a lot of salads lately and a lot of fruit. Hallelujah. My goodness. I still feel like I'm turning into a rabbit or something, but, you know. But it's good, you know, it's good. It's good to eat those stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of people in this place that are into fitness and they're into working out. Miss Sandra here, our camera operator, she's done about a million and a half burpees this morning. And, you know, just, you know, exercising and all those things, that's good for you. You see, we got to take care of ourselves. And you see, you can keep that body. Now, unfortunately, our bodies, you can't replace them. It's not like you can go to the body shop and, "Oh, I need a new arm, need a new leg, need a new nostril, you know, need a new eyeball." That don't always work that way. But you see, once we've asked for forgiveness, when we go to Jesus, well, you see what happens is the spirit man becomes renewed. Are you listening to me? The inside you, the you that's communicating to God, that's connected to the Father, well, that becomes new. Amen. You're not the same person that you used to be. So you are a new creature. You are a whole new creature. Once you became born again, you were created new. You got that new spirit sent, man. Isn't that, that's good. Makes you want to shout. Woo! All right. Now, number two. Another enemy of our faith is the failure to understand our place in Christ. The first one that we talked about was failure to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ. And the second enemy we're going to talk about is the failure to understand our place in Christ. Well, what are you talking about? Well, this little book right here, we got it in the Word Shop, and I've read through this a couple different times. It's a fantastic book. It's called In Him. And all the questions that you have about, you know, well, what does that mean in Christ and all those things? Well, this little book really kind of sums it up for us here a little bit. Really talks about who we are. You know that in Scripture, in the New Testament alone, there's over 140 Scriptures that reference in Him, in Christ, in whom, in He, making reference to the Lord, that we are in Him. Are you listening to me? So it's a very important concept, a very important part of a Christian living is knowing that who you are in Christ and knowing our place, but yet a lot of people don't know who they are. Now, in Bible school, I teach a class, Righteousness. We have a great time in that class. It's a wonderful class. And it was actually, when I was in Bible school, it was one of the classes that I really enjoyed the most. I got a lot out of it. And in Christ, or in Him, in Christ, in whom, you know, all those things that really got me thinking, you know, as and I bring a lot of this out in this class that we talk about who we are. We were made the righteousness of God in Christ. We're going to talk about righteousness in a little bit here further on in the message. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But you see, when we are in Christ, we are engrafted. Now, scientists are kind of, you know, they're pretty smart people. They can do all types of wacky things. And a while ago, I was reading an article about how they took two different fruit trees from seedlings, and when they were doing this, they actually grafted them together. Now, the way they done the process, I'm not really 100% sure on the process they did it, but I know that they kind of split each tree, and they put them together so that the insides would come together. And as it grew, it actually fused together. And as it grew and grew and grew, they were actually getting two types of fruit on one tree. You see, now you cannot separate them. Amen? So what was initially two separate units became one and was producing fruit. You see, once we become born again, well, then we become engrafted in Christ. And like in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you want to throw that back up for me. Therefore, if any man is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. You see, when we are in Christ, we are not our own anymore. You see, whatever God gave to Jesus is also ours. Are you listening to me? Now, let me ask you a question. Is Jesus sick? Is he broke? No. Is he lacking anything? No, he's not. You see, God, Scripture tells us that God gave Jesus all authority, all power, everything belonged to Jesus. But now also, it goes on and tells us, because of who we are, that once we become born again, and that we became engrafted in Christ. Now, once something is engrafted, that means you're gone into, you've joined together. It can't be separated, okay? It's mixed up altogether. You see, you cannot be separated. So if Jesus got it, all those things, well, guess who else have all those things also? Me and you. You see, when we are in Christ, there's a lot of benefits to that. Are you listening to me tonight? Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who doesn't have a clue about who they are in Christ and what actually belongs to them. They're walking around defeated and sick and broke and disgusted and all those things all the time, when really they are King's kids. They are joint heirs with the Father. Amen? Whatever Jesus has, it belongs to us also. We are engrafted. we are a part of. Once we become born again, the salvation thing's kind of important. Very important. You know, this thing is, you know, it's very important for us here. You know, and if we don't realize on who we are in Christ, you know what's going to end up happening? The devil, Satan, the enemy, he's going to have a heyday kicking our butts. It's a sad reality, but it's true. He's going to have a heyday kicking our butts if we don't walk in the truth, if we don't know on who we are in Christ, and all those things. Now, I'm just giving you highlights and giving you points of what the enemies are. Now, there's seven-part miniseries on each one of these points that we could get into. You know, there's so much information on this in Christ stuff. Like I said, there's 140-plus scriptures about that, and we can spend quite some time talking about each and every one of them and how they pertain to us. But, you know, it's an enemy of faith when we don't know on who we are in Christ, because it's hindering us from acting out our faith. Amen? Are you listening to me? All right. Number three, the next enemy of our faith is failure to understand righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For our sake he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become viewed as being in and examples of the righteousness of God, what he ought to be approved and acceptable and in a right relationship with him by his goodness." Can we find that in the New Living Translation? I just want to show you something else in the New Living Translation real quick. Sorry, I didn't put it there in my notes. Now, while she's doing that, righteousness is one of the least understood topics in the Bible and Christians. For whatever reason, they kind of tend to overlook it. They kind of get a little bit of it, but there's so much involved in that, in righteousness. Now, let's just look at this scripture verse for a second again. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." All right, next verse. Oh, that's it? Oh, sorry. That was more. Oh, because I was looking at the Amplified. Okay, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Right with God. That means righteousness. That means we are in right standing with God. You see, once we become born again, we automatically gained righteousness. And as much righteousness as God could give us, he gave us. We're not going to get any more. We're not going to get any less. It is. But now, do we fully understand our righteousness? No. But you see, we grow our understanding of our righteousness. Now, a lot of times, once we become born again, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. You know, praise God. It's good. And that's where the buck stops. Well, we haven't even scratched the surface here on our righteousness. And so believers who do not know what their righteousness is and who they are in Christ, and that all these enemies affect their faith, well, then when they're believing God for something, when they're fighting this good fight of faith, well, then they're going to get their butts kicked. And I don't know about you, but I don't like getting my butt kicked. You know, it's really not nice, you know. I don't like losing. I'm a bit of a competitive person at times. And, you know, when I'm playing something, I like to win. Anybody else here like that? You like to win when you're playing? So any competitive people, yeah? A couple people here? The rest of you, are you not competitive people? You don't play games at all? No? Don't play games? Wow. I was playing checkers the other night with Benjamin. It's the first time me and Ben has ever played checkers. And you know what? The little squirt beat me. The guy is 8 years old, and he kicked Daddy's butt. You know, I was kind of, because I thought I was good at checkers, you know. But my son, who's 8 years old, is actually better than me at checkers. And I was like, oh, man, you know. And I could see towards the end of the game, I was kind of like getting a little competitive edge here. And I'm like, And I kind of lost focus a little bit, and I messed up, and then he took me. It's like, what? But the little guy beat me. And Ben can be pretty competitive, too. He gets it from his mom, I swear. All right, so, anyway, we'll keep going here. Righteousness, like I said, is one of the least understood biblical concepts, but it's very important. What is righteousness? Well, righteousness means right standing with God. Now, when we're right standing with God, that means that we are where God wants us to be. We're where we need to be. We're where we're supposed to be with God. And once we become born again, we instantly, I already said this, we all instantly became righteous. And we were created as if we have never sinned before. And in our righteousness, there's all types of benefits. You know, we got power in prayer. We got boldness. Man, we can come before the Father. We're joint heirs with Christ. You know, we're equal shareholders. What Jesus have, we all have also. We are connected to God. Man, there's so many blessings in that, in our righteousness. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get in there and figure out what those things are, because we're cutting ourselves short, once again, if we don't know what our righteousness is. You see, Scripture tells us that our own righteousness is the same as filthy rags. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm a good person. Okay, that's good. You know, that's nice. You can be a good person. But unless you're acting on God's word and you've got that relationship with Him and you're doing what He's called you to do, it's worthless. A lot of people think, well, I'm a good person. I'm good to go. Do you have a relationship with the Father? Because if not, it's nothing. See, our own righteousness is bunk. But you see, our righteousness through the Father, our righteousness that we get from God. Because when we became a new person, well, then we got the DNA of God flowing through us, and so we got His righteousness in us now. Our own righteousness is thrown out. Because we were engrafted into Christ. We are now connected to the Father. And so it's kind of interesting to see this now, and that our own righteousness are as filthy rags, as Scripture says, but now we are in right standing with God, that we belong to the Father, hallelujah, that all every spiritual blessing that was given to Jesus belongs to us also, amen. So that means we're healed, healthy, whole, set free, delivered, blessed, you know, we're not stressed, to all those good things that belongs to us, hallelujah, amen. 1 John 1:9 says, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confessed our sins, then He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everything not in conformity in His will and purpose, thought, and action. What does that mean? Well, see, we have to understand that in our righteousness, we are in right standing with God, and even if we do mess up, we can still come back to the Father, ask for forgiveness. And if a Christian messes up, we ask for forgiveness, God will do two things here. The first thing that He'll do is He forgives us. And the second thing He does is He cleanses him from all unrighteousness. He gets rid of it. You see, sin does not belong to us. Sickness does not belong to us. And once we commune with the Father and we get an understanding of these things and we start studying out the Word of God, well, hallelujah, we walk in this. We are forgiven. We're set free. We're not who we were. Amen? Every day, people tend to mess up. I've messed up today, you know? You know, people do things that they're not supposed to do. Right? We eat that extra cheeseburger. You might think bad about somebody. You know? You might say something or do something that you shouldn't have done. Well, you know what? We're all going to make mistakes. We are. But the thing is we don't stay there. We ask for forgiveness, and then we allow the Lord to do His work in our lives. Number four, the fourth enemy that we're going to touch on, is the failure to understand our right to use the name of Jesus. Now, I really like this. You see, when I was growing up, I went to a couple different churches, and my dad was involved in a different ministry, and every now and then we'd go to different churches and with them, and they'd do presentations and whatnot. And you got to hear different sermons and different messages from different denominations and different churches, and you hear different things. And I've been in a few different churches where they don't necessarily believe that there's power in the name of Jesus. And now I've been gone through Bible school. I've been in a Word of Faith church for 12 years, and then before that I was in a Pentecostal church, and you know, it's exciting to see that there is power in the name of Jesus. You see, but there's a lot of people that don't understand that power, and that's a huge enemy to the faith. Because our faith, it relies on us trusting in the Lord. Amen? It relies on us having faith in the name of Jesus. You know that a believer, we can cast out demons, that we can control, we can take authority over evil spirits by using the name of Jesus. You know that the enemy has to go when we take authority and use the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen? Are you listening to me? There is no name that is greater than the name of Jesus. You see, when you got sin and sickness and you got garbage going on in your life, you use that name of Jesus. When you got trials and temptations, you use that name of Jesus because the devil hates it. And it messes with him big time. And he can't stand that name. They have to go. When we learn about the awesome power that's in the name of Jesus and realize how mighty it really is, we walk in victory over Satan every day. Now, the devil, he's a big dummy because he tries to get back at us, you know? He'll come at you, he'll do something stupid. No, that's not going to happen. Devil, in the name of Jesus, go away. He's like punching in the face, and you know? He's like, well, I'm going to try something else. And he'll come from a different angle and try to attack you some other way. No, devil, I told you, no, not in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you have to go. That's another kick, right? And then he'll try something else because he's always trying to buffet you. Because he's trying to get us, see? He's always trying to get at us and trying to cause strife and to try and get us off our A game. But you know what? Those of us that are born again, that we know who we are in Christ, we know that we have righteousness, we know that we can use the name of Jesus. You know what? It's like that one of my favorite songs that we can sing. You can't touch this. Da-na-na-na, da-na. You can't touch this. Because it's true. The devil cannot touch what belongs to the Lord. Now, how many of you in here belongs to the Lord? So that should be your theme song when you're walking down the street. You know, you ever watch those movies? And then, you know, you see the guy just cruising down there and he got some happy tune going, right? You know? I remember one time I had a conversation with some of my friends and we talked about, well, what would our theme song be if we were walking down the street? And some of these guys had all these funny, you know, whatever. And it got me thinking, you know. And then later on, I was thinking about this, it popped in my head. And I said, it would be that MC Hammer song. You can't touch this. Because the devil can't touch this. So I'd be walking down the street and the devil would be trying to do whatever he can, but you can't touch this, devil. So that'd be my theme song, you know. It should be everyone's theme song. Can't touch this. Da-na-na-na. Hammer time. Sorry, I got it stuck in my head now. I'll be singing that all night. All right, anyway. Turn over to your Bibles to Mark 16. You guys doing okay tonight?
Yeah.
Good. You getting anything out of this? Good. Good. You can't touch this. Okay. Mark 16, verse 15. And when he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. All believers can cast out demons in the name of Jesus, and all believers have authority over evil spirits in the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen? We sing that song here, there's power in the name of to break every chain. Yes, that is true. You're being bound by addiction or by whatever it is, oppression, depression, whatever it is. Well, you know what? You use that name of Jesus. You use that name of Jesus. He is the chain breaker. He's the way maker. Amen? And when Jesus fed the 5,000, he was also the bread maker. Is that it? I worked hard on that one. Okay, anyway. I tried. Wah, wah, wah. You guys are something. Lord, bless them. Lower? Okay. Tough crowd. You're allowed to smile in church. Okay, anyway. Whoa, settle down here. Now, it's a big hindrance to our faith because when we're believing for something, or when we're supposed to be believing for something, but yet we don't know what we have access to that power. You know, it'd be nice to have, think about it, you got if someone went off and bought you a brand new 80-inch flat screen TV. How wonderful would that be? All right, you got this big, beautiful TV, and you know what, you're excited. You got this big, beautiful TV. You get this TV, you set it up on your wall, you know, all fancy and stuff, you hook up all your entertainment system, but you never plug it in. Well, then what's the point of having a big, beautiful, having this big thing that you have, that someone gave you, this wonderful present, but you don't have it working? Well, it's the same thing with us. The Lord has blessed us with so many things, but yet, you know, we have the ability to do stuff, to be able to explore and learn and grow, but unless we plug into that power in the name of Jesus, well then, what we have is, you know, it's pretty sitting there, but it's not doing nothing, it's not being beneficial to us. Are you listening to me? You see, we need to plug in, we need to cut that enemy out. And we need to plug into the power in the name of Jesus so that we can actively do what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? All right. Another one, number five, failure to act upon the word is another enemy. It's okay, we only got 42 points to get through tonight. We're doing fine. Okay. Failure to act upon the word. If we believe that the word of God is true, then we need to act on it as if it is true. Faith without actions is dead. Are you listening? Failure to act upon the word. A lot of people, they know Scripture in and out and upside down and in all three languages and the original Greek and Hebrew. You know, I'm telling you. They got the Dead Sea Scrolls hung up on their wall type thing, you know. They know Scripture. Are you listening to me? But they have the head knowledge, but they don't have the heart knowledge. You see, we have to know the Word. We have to act upon the Word. We have to do something. If we're not feeling well, Scripture says, by His stripes we were healed. We were done. You know, it's all been done. By His stripes we were, but we're sick. And we're there. Oh. And this is me. I've done this. Okay? I'm not making fun of no one. I'm making fun of myself here. Okay? And you're sick. And you know what? The farthest thing from your mind is acting on the Word of God. For that moment, you just want to be there, and you, oh, I'm so sick. You know, you're so sick, not feeling well, you know. When it really all you got is the man cold. And so, you know, you feel like it's the end of the world. All you wives in here know exactly what I'm talking about. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. You've all suffered it. If you haven't, we're going to pray for fibers later. But you all know what I'm talking about, the man cold. And you feel like you're so sick and you're so miserable, man. Yeah, whiskey flu, that's a new name. You just feel so miserable. Well, the Word of God says a bunch of different things in there about what we're supposed to be doing, about when we're not feeling well. You know? Well, what would Jesus do? Jesus told people to act. He told one person, get up and walk. Take up your bed and walk. Amen? Now, I understand some people, they can't do that. So, my wife, I can't be sick around my wife. Because she pulls all Jesus on me, and she goes, what are you doing in bed? I said, I'm not feeling well. So? Right? So? I go, well, I got a bad head. And your point is? Well, I'm not feeling well. Get out of bed, you got stuff to do. Kendra, no, I'm not feeling. Get out of bed, Steve, you got stuff to do. Steve, you know, you put it out of your head, you're fine. But I got a sore throat. No, you don't. You're making it up. No, really. But she reminds me, and Kendra's really good at this, because Kendra, she's the strong, silent type, okay? Because when our kids get sick, or when we get sick, you know what she does? She prays over them, and she believes. And she tells him, she said, okay, now if you're not feeling well, when you go to bed tomorrow morning, when you wake up, you're going to be better. She goes, go to bed, and when you get up, you're going to feel better. And you know what happens? When you go to bed, they get up, they feel better. Amen? Because she's acting on the word. She's speaking. She's speaking. Her confession is right. I know. And you know, Kendra's not the real boisterous one here in church. She's always working behind the scenes. But man, if you actually get to know Miss Kendra, when there's trouble going on, when there's situations going on, I know our family has just gone through some struggles. Her family has gone through some struggles. And she'll look at me and she goes, Steve, she said, they need Jesus. No. And she looked at me, she said, you know what? They need to act on this. They need to stop thinking negative and they need to look at the positive. And see, a lot of times this is what we do. We focus on the bad things and we forget about the good things. We spend more time looking at what the devil's doing and magnifying the devil than magnifying God, because he's already healed us and made us whole. So even though we're dying there with the man cold, getting ready, trying to find a minister to do our last rites for us or whatever, you know, getting ready to call the mortician because we got the sniffles, you know, we should be praising God and thanking him that he already defeated Satan and that we are already been set free and been delivered from whatever sickness, from whatever disease. Are you listening to me? We have to act on the word. When you're not feeling well, you got to do stuff. Amen? I went through a battle back in November. I had an operation on my elbow. And boy, it sucked. I'm not going to lie. It sucked. And I went through different struggles. And, you know, it hurt. But hallelujah, I'm back to whatever normal is. I'm normal. Amen? But it was a battle, but you know what? I acted on God's word. And my wife, she would pray. She'd pray for me. My kids would pray for me. You know, that's a good thing. Because they act on the word. Scripture tells us that a prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer of a righteous woman availeth much. Come on now. You see, when you act, Miss Grace, when we act, when we pray, when we do what we're supposed to be doing, we just don't sit there and die. We just don't sit there and rot. But we got to get up and get out of our funk and stop feeling bad about ourselves and give glory to God, because he's given us another day to live, another day to thrive, another day to be the head and not the tail. Come on, another day to be victorious. Amen? Yeah, it's a good thing right there. Hallelujah. Yeah. Failure to act on the word is a great hindrance to our faith. Because if we can speak it, but we don't act on it, it's going to fall flat. Faith without actions is dead. Failure to act on the word. It says, trust in the Lord in Proverbs 3, chapter 5, or chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Because a lot of times we try and figure things out in our own heads. But we get ourselves in trouble. Because when we're leaning on our own understanding, we're not leaning on the Lord. And if we're not leaning on the Lord, well, then we're in trouble. When Peter decided to walk on water, step out of the boat in that storm when he was seeing Jesus, when he took his eyes off of the Lord, he took his eyes off the prize, he started to sink. He started to lean on his own understanding. He looked at the waves and the storm and the chaos that was going on around him. And he got stuck in his funk. But hallelujah, he had sense enough about him. He used the name of Jesus. He said, Savior, Jesus, save me. And guess what? Jesus reached down, picked him up, and they walked back to the boat. So it doesn't matter, you might be up to your neck in disaster. All you have to do is act, speak, confess the word, call out the name of Jesus. He'll be right there to pick you up, pull you out, and go for a walk with you. Amen? That's good. That's good. I'm preaching myself happy if no one else is going to come along. That's fine. A lot of people got the head knowledge, but they don't have the heart knowledge. And that's a huge enemy to faith. So we need, in order for this to work, we need to do something. We need to act on the word. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Number 6, our last point. Woo, we did it.
Well done.
Failure to hold fast to our confession. Now, I really like this one. There's people in this church, and they remind me to always have a good confession. And I am thankful for those people, because it's easy to say things that you don't actually mean, but you're still saying them, and you shouldn't be saying them. That's a lot of words I just said there. But you can say stuff, not mean it, but it's a negative confession. You might not actually mean it, but still, probably still shouldn't be saying it. You see, what comes out of our mouth ultimately is what we're hiding on our hearts. And then if it's hiding it in our hearts, that's what's in our spirit. And if we got negative and grossness coming out all the time, well, then we need to go get a checkup. Are you listening to me? And you see, when we're not holding fast to our confession, our positive confession, well, you see why that's a big enemy to our faith. Because if we're not speaking faith-filled words over our lives and over those around us, you know, and whatever we're connected to, we're setting ourselves up for a beautiful disaster. Romans 10:10. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. It is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. When we became born again, we had to say it. Lord, forgive me. I commit myself to you, Father. We had to confess. Mark 11:23 and 24 in the New Living Translation. It says, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen, and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you receive it, it's yours. See, these two passages of Scripture here, they're so jam-packed of what we've been talking about all evening. That if you say to this mountain, you have to speak to the mountain. So if you're facing a mountain in your life, you got to look at it and you got to speak to it and say, finances, straighten up now in the name of Jesus. Relationship, straighten up now in the name of Jesus. Are you listening to me? Body, you're not working right. Work right in the name of Jesus. We have to speak to those mountains. And they have to work. We must speak the word. The reason that many Christians are defeated is because they're speaking negative. They're speaking defeat all the time. Some of the most negative people I ever met were actually church people. Not this church. Not in this church. We're all good, positive people here, I guarantee it. But I'm serious. Some of the most negative people I've ever spoken to were actually people that claimed to be church people. And you know, that's kind of sad because they're missing out on the goodness of God. Amen? No, we all have opportunities and moments in our lives, but I know it never happens to anyone in here, but you know, we tend to complain a little bit, maybe focus on the negative a little bit more if something don't like us, but that don't happen to you guys. We're all good in here. It never happens to me. What are you talking about? Okay, so anyway, you know, we focus, you know, sometimes we do end up focusing on the negative. But here's the thing. We don't need to be dwelling there. But we need to look at the positive. We need to confess life. We need to confess good things, Brother Jerry. That one of these days, the Montreal Canadiens might actually become a hockey team. You know? That, you know? He's been believing. He's a faithful man. If you want to see faithfulness, you talk to Brother Jerry about liking the Montreal Canadiens. When the Montreal Canadiens don't even like the Montreal Canadiens, Jerry will still be there lifting that flag high, wearing that hat. Isn't that right, Brother Jerry? Faithful man. What you confess is what you are. What you hide on your heart, you find on your tongue. Amen? And so we got to put good things in. So we got to get in and study the word. We got to know who we are in Christ. We have to understand our righteousness. Amen? We can't go getting into fear and doubt and all those unbelief things. We have to put a block and stop these enemies of faith. And we have to get strong in our faith, and we have to do something, amen? Amen? We have to act on the Word of God. We have to do what we're supposed to be doing. We have to follow through. We have to confess. We have to speak, amen? And sometimes we don't feel like doing it all the time. Not always do you feel like shouting and hollering, but you know what? The times when you don't feel like doing it is the times when you need to be doing it. You don't always feel like going to church, but you know what? You need to go to church. The times when you don't feel like doing it is when you need to be there. When you feel like running away is the time you need to run to the Father instead of running away from the Father. When you feel like you got no one around you, you need to run to people. You need to run to your good Christian friends to help build you up when you got in trouble. It's people that can be there. You need some crazy friends. Amen? There's a lot of crazy friends in this place, I guarantee it. Look around. Just look around. Amen. Lots of crazy people in this place, and that's a good thing. It's good. It's a good type of crazy. It's a Jesus crazy. Amen. Will everyone stand on your feet? As believers, we need to stay alert to enemies of the faith. We are the ones that allow these things into our lives, and we can stop it. We have the power to let these enemies come in and tear us apart, or we have the power to block them, to stop them, use the name of Jesus, to speak to the mountain, come on now, to change our confession. All that power belongs to us. It is in us because we belong to Jesus, and we have all that power, amen? Amen. We've been given every spiritual blessing that belongs to the Father that was given to Jesus belongs to us also. That's exciting to know this evening. Amen? Now I'm going to challenge you that the rest of this week and from here on in, you're going to start thinking about this. That you're going to think about who you are in Christ, in Him, who you are. You're going to start thinking about your righteousness. In 45 minutes, we can hardly scratch the surface of all these topics and all these things that we talked about. But you see, if you want this alive in your life, you need to study. Act on the Word. It's one thing to have a nice brand new Bible. But you know what? You actually got to open it up. And you got to look through it. And you got to study it. You got to read it. You got to read it. You got to study it, read it, study some more. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. So you come to church, you hear, you hear, you hear, but you also read and read and read. You listen, you study, you grow. We need to act on the Word. Amen? We need to put a stop to these little enemies, these things that we allow to come in. Amen? Now, how many of you are going to act on the Word? How many of you are going to change your confession? How many of you are going to act, going to do, change things around a little bit? Stop those enemies. Because you stop those enemies and you're fighting a good fight of faith? Come on now. Because a good defense is always good. Because when the devil's coming at you, he's coming at you with his full force. But he has a stop in his tracks. Because you're putting up a block. You have Jesus on the inside of you. And Christians that know these things and have these things alive in their hearts and have these things alive in their lives, come on now, Satan can't mess with them. Satan cannot defeat them. Pastor Hagin is saying this, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. And there's times I've had to say that to myself, that I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Because sometimes the going gets tough. It does. Life can be tough sometimes. I had a huge conversation with a 9-year-old little Syrian boy this week. And he was telling me about how he's seen tanks in his neighborhood. And how he's seen people actually die in front of his face when he was 4 and 5 years old. And the scars that are left on this little boy. And he looked at me at 9 years old and he said, Steve, he said, life can be hard. And I'm just sitting here and I'm trying to hold back the tears and trying to be all Mr. Burly neighbor, cleaning fish. And here's this little boy, and he's telling me his life story. And it gave me a new appreciation about who I am and what I got. And because I have Jesus on the inside of me. It's not by mistake or by coincidence I got this cute little family living in our neighborhood. Amen? Because that little boy, he reminded me that, you know what, sometimes things can be really tough, but things will get better. Because I have faith in God. This little boy's family, they came to Canada a couple years ago. Amen, they're living a good life. Parents are working, there's 3 children, there's another baby on the way, praise God. You know what, and they're living the Canadian dream. Hallelujah, praise be to God. You know, they're great. Their friends are church people, and so I believe that they're speaking into them. We come over to come and hang out with our kids, you know, and so we want to see things happen in these people's lives. You don't know what people's gone through, But it took a 9-year-old little boy this week to speak into me to make me realize, you know what? Yeah, sometimes life can be hard. But he said, you know what, Steve? He said, I am thankful for where I am. And my mom tells me that I need to be thankful. And he goes, I don't mean to complain. He said, I know that I'm very grateful for what we have. I am very thankful for what Jesus has done for me. I am very thankful that he saved me, that he took me out of sin's and death's grip, brought me out of death and brought me over to life. Amen? And so we need to put up blocks to the enemy. Everyone bow your heads, close your eyes. Never like to close a service without doing this, but if you're in this place and you need Jesus in your life, or your relationship is drawing cold, and if that's you, and you need Jesus back in your life, why don't you stretch your hand up right now? Let's make this decision today to make things right with the Lord. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, sir. Anyone else? You need Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? You need to get back on track. You need to block these enemies. You need to get things right. If that's you, that's good. That's good. Well, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want everyone in this place to pray after me, to repeat after me. And we're going to do this together as a family. And we're going to rededicate ourselves to Jesus today. All right. Repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I love you. I choose to follow you today. I give you my heart. I give you my mind. I give you all of me. Father God, I follow you today. I choose to follow you. I choose to go after you, to live for you. Allow you to work in me. I give you my heart. Today, I trust you. I believe in you. And I love you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, well, Pastor Dave is going to have some materials for you and some guy back there. He's got some materials. You let us know that you pray that. That's life-changing. I challenge you. Put up a block to these enemies. Change your confession. Start doing those things. Look at things in a positive light. Think of what Jesus did for you. Think about who you are in Christ. Study out these points. See what's in Scripture about that. Amen? Well, hopefully you got something out of that tonight. I had a lot of fun. Amen? Hopefully you got something. So go ahead, go be blessed. Go enjoy your evening. Tell someone you love them. And have a great night.